We're gifted this weekend. We had a great time just talking to parents about sexual wholeness and sexual purity. And how do you, in this confused environment, how do we navigate, how do we cultivate identities of our children, of the, those that are entrusted to us? How do we do it in a weird environment? And this evening, we're so blessed that we wanted Andre at the seminar yesterday as well. Please go online and go and listen to some of those talks. It's been really, really good. You can just go on Shofar Durbanville's YouTube channel and look at yesterday's seminar. You didn't have to pay for that. You can just go for free now. But we wanted Andre there yesterday, but he was still touring the country in the north, and he flew back yesterday. And Andre, we are so blessed that even after quite a travel that you're willing to leave your church at El Shaddai and to come and serve us tonight and to minister on sexual wholeness. And this is really Andre's passion, Andre's gift. Can we put our hands together and receive him as a gift?
Okay. Thank you, Ross. It's a real privilege to be here, and I just want to say I really love Ross's preaching. And I feel highly intimidated that I dare to preach in his congregation when you've got such an amazing preacher, hey? But I also just love the heart that I see here and just the willingness to really open your heart wide to God's love. And I just want to pray that continues tonight, because I don't want to talk about sex and sexuality. I wanted to be able to just connect somewhere in your being that you can allow God in to go deep where it needs to go tonight, because that's what it's about. Okay, so I'm not teaching you to become wonderful parents or good sex partners or even singles. I really just pray that God is going to touch your hearts and break off some shame, because we all carry this shame in our lives when it comes to sexuality, because we don't talk much about it. And silence is the greatest cause of shame often, because we left to make up our ideas and our plans of what it's actually about. And that's not too cool. But you know, in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said that we must go out and we've got to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that he has obeying all that he has commanded of us. And surely he will be with us until the end of the age. And so I really am excited about you as a generation, because you have in your hands just such an opportunity to bring a fresh revelation of God's love around sexuality to a generation that is so lost and is listening to so many different voices. And we need to hear God's heart on this. And it's not a surprise to him at all. There's nothing new under the sun. And so this is not a surprise to him. And he has an answer if we seek him with all our hearts. And that's what I really pray for this evening. So as Ross said last night, we arrived back from Joburg, and flying back, behind us we had a little girl who has a verbal IQ, I think, of 180 anyway. Very high. And she spoke us through the whole flight. It was the most beautiful thing. And she was just so full of excitement and joy. And she was saying, oh, we're taking off now, you know. And we're going higher, mummy, we're going higher. And it's so exciting. This is so exciting. And you know, mummy, from this height, I could parachute. And I thought, isn't that just amazing? The innocence that we can believe that we can do anything, hey? And with Jesus, we can. But you know what? When I was sitting there, I was thinking, oh, Lord, if only she knew. All right, if only she knew how much work it took to parachute, let alone getting over her own fear, but finding a parachute, packing it correctly, making sure she's in the right place at the right time, you know, jumping out, and then ripping, you know, that cord, so that hopefully the parachute comes out and hopefully she can land in the right spot and not kill herself or somebody else, all right? And you know what? I think that's a bit like sexuality. It's like a parachute we've been given. But not many of us actually know how to use it, okay? And we don't even know how to pack it well. We haven't been taught even what maybe it consists of, all right? And so we actually have to jump with this parachute that we have no cooking clue about, and we just hope to heaven that when we have to land somewhere, that it all works. But unfortunately, we just see over and over and over that people are landing, and they're landing hard, and it's causing such pain. And it's causing disciples pain, and it's causing leaders pain. It is causing people to find themselves in moral failure that they never thought they'd find themselves in. And so many have fallen with them in the process. But God made this parachute. And we need to take up what this parachute looks like and know how to fold it, know how to use it, know where to use it, okay? So that we can land in the right place in a healthy way. And that's what I really hope tonight that you're going to experience. And we all have a sexuality development. And it is completely natural. All right? God gave sexuality, and it is absolutely natural. Okay? And we've got to get used to it, and we've got to understand it. Otherwise, it's going to cause us to fall. All right? So if you look at the conception to 3 years section, many of us have no cooking clue where we were conceived. All right? I know where my children were conceived, but I don't think they want me to tell anybody. Okay? But I found out just the other week that there's actually a psychological phase now. It's official. A preconception phase. That is the space into which you were conceived. Was it a healthy family? Was it economically viable? Was there hope? All those things actually affect you as a child. All right? At 6 to 7 or 6 to 8 weeks, all right, the XX and the XY chromosomes all kicked in and your genitalia were developed. Woohoo! Isn't that amazing? Okay. Little girls developed ovaries, boys developed testes. All right. Boys developed a penis, girls developed a clitoris. All right. Yeah, we say these things and it's okay in church. All right. Okay. And then at about 6 months in the womb, there was what is known as the estrogen wash, which is a hormone that actually causes the brain to develop a capacity to accept its genitalia when it is born. Isn't that amazing? All right? And you're born and you're called a boy or a girl. All right? And it's merely because of your external genitalia. Obviously, we've got intersex issues. It used to be called hermaphroditism, but now it's intersex. And maybe you have both of the genitalia. And in 0.0003% of people, there may be a difference between what the genitalia are expressed at birth, okay, and they called your primary sex characteristics, all right? There may be a difference between those and your secondary sex characteristics that happen when you go through puberty. That means guys get, well, we all get hair under our arms and on our legs and guys on their chests, all right? And so a very small percentage of people end up with that, okay? And then 3 years old, you would have seen there's a weird question. Do you know that your dad was around or not? That's just an essential time. Yeah, oh, there are questions there, good. That's an essential time because the baby or the child says, I am a boy or I am a girl. Isn't that amazing? And how do they do that? Through the socialization process of seeing that I have the same as dad or I don't have the same as dad. Or I have the same as mom, or I don't have the same as mom, all right? And it is actually so important at this age, and the psychology around it is that there is the need for a father figure to individuate the child from the mother, okay? So that means that the father has to make the child aware that he is not mum anymore. Okay? He's not part of mum. And it doesn't mean that he's physically got to take the child and cause trauma. No. He's just got to help the child realize that he or she is separate. Now, you can imagine if that doesn't happen, there's an overconnection to the feminine. All right? And so there can be huge problems with that, with little girls that have overconnected to the feminine, and so take that into life and feel that the only way they can experience love is by connecting to the feminine. All right? In little boys, if they've overconnected to the feminine, then sometimes they actually go through life believing that the only way that can be acceptable is if they are feminine. All right? And so you start realizing that there is so much that can actually happen in our lives. And sexuality is an incredible gift given to us. But there are about 12 different phases, and things need to happen at each stage. And something can go wrong. All right? And so it was beautiful. About 3 weeks ago, I was able to have some of the guys from the City Bowl. We did pre-marriage sex education. And it was amazing. I just thought, this is a miracle. These guys want heterosexual monogamous sex. Hallelujah. Because so much can go wrong. And we must never take it for granted. All right? But we've also got to understand our sexuality, because it is a very, very important thing. I'm going to speak about this, but go through it in a bit of a different way. We're going to go to the end, to the beginning, and then to the middle. We'll start with the end, and we go to Revelations. An amazing thing is that at the end of all time, it says, "Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." There's going to be a great wedding at the end of all time. Do you see that there are only two genders? There's a bride and there's a groom. Okay? Jesus has been waiting as our fiancé for almost 2,000 years. So when couples that want to get married come to me and say, "I need to have sex," I say, "Well, 2,000 years, my friend." Okay, but I'm actually being serious, because you know what? God has a way out for absolutely everything, if we're willing to seek him with all our heart. All right? And so it's just really important for us to realize that in the basic fabric of our faith, we need to realize that there is marriage, and it involves males and females. And there's going to be this amazing wedding at the end of time. And guess what? With that, there's going to be a consummation. Ay, 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 ay. Don't know what that's going to mean, all right? But it's going to happen, because that was part of a wedding. Anyway, we move on, because that's freaky to me. All right. So now we've been to the end. Now we jump to the beginning. All right? And here we have Adam and Eve. All right. And we look at Genesis 2. "Then the Lord God formed," that is, created, "the body of a man from the dust of the ground." Tell the person next to you, "You are dust." Okay. We are dust. All right? Without the breath of God, we are dust. Okay? "And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, an individual complete in body and spirit." Okay? So here you've got Adam being breathed into. Okay? But then we carry on in verse 18 and says, "Now the Lord God said, it is not good or beneficial for the man to be alone." Any men agree with me? Yeah. Okay. "Right, I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary to him." I was an English teacher. You see the E there instead of an I. Complementary. Okay, instead of compliment. Okay, right? If you give me a compliment, I'll like you, all right? But we need each other in terms of genders to complete us, okay? Men by themselves are pathetic, okay? They need women. Equally so, I'm sorry, women are pathetic. They need men. All right. I'm not on one side or the other, okay? I'm a man. Anyway, let's leave that. All right, so important to realize that God made us equal. All right? Man was lost. He was incomplete. He needed woman. Woman by herself was lost. She needs man. That doesn't mean we all need to be married. That means wherever we go, we need to honor and respect each other, knowing that we need each other. It's not one above the other. It has to be that we need each other, because we actually bring different things to whatever it is. And we do our Fearful and Wonderful Sexuality workshop. And in the last time, we only had married women. And one of the saddest moments to me was when we ask a question, what is a blessing or a curse that you have found with your gender? There was not one woman there that was able to say anything other than, I feel blessed because I've had children. And that is a sad reality. And I think that we as men need to be, well, we need to start. I think we do, but we've got to continue to acknowledge the role of women in our lives and acknowledge their role, which is far more than childbearing. Hallelujah. Okay? And this doesn't only mean that we've got to get married. Okay? This is wherever we go, we honor and respect what God has brought onto this earth so that we can complete each other. Then we go to Genesis 2. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and she shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Sex! And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed or embarrassed. Isn't this amazing? Okay? Firstly, we're all meant to come from a family that has a father and a mother. All right? And you know, where we see people that maybe don't have a dad or a mom on the scene, then we jump in, or we find somebody to jump in. Because there needs to be a blessing. And it needs to come from both a mom and a dad, because they complete each other. And then the child can be released into the fullness of their calling when they get married. Okay? So, isn't this cool? They get joined together and they have sex, all right? Sex is a brilliant thing and it's awesome, and it's not only to reproduce. Okay, it's to have fun, it's to have pleasure, it's to have all those marvelous things, okay? But then we see that they were both naked, walking around the garden, okay? Walking with the wind, yoo-hoo! Okay, and the rain. And the sun. Okay. All right. And they were in no way ashamed. There was no shame about it. Isn't it beautiful? And you know that they walked with God. Okay. I wonder what he looked like, but let's move on. All right. But they were not ashamed. And then, of course, they did what they did. Man, we're going to have it out with them, aren't we, hey? And what was the first thing they noticed? Their nakedness, all right? And so they tried to sew fig leaves. Can you imagine? And you know that fig leaves have actually got spikes on them. Can you believe that, all right? I don't think God killed an animal just because of the spikes in the fig leaves, okay? But nakedness, for some reason, is incredibly important to God. Because the first blood that was shed, the first blood ever shed, was to cover our nakedness. And we've got to realize that nakedness goes way beyond the skin. When we speak about nakedness, when we speak about our naked body, it goes straight to our spirit. All right? And we know this because of what happened to Adam and Eve. And for God to actually kill and shed blood, for that to be covered, we've got to be very careful with what we do. So we've got to be aware of what we say about our own nakedness when we look in a mirror, okay? And we've actually got to start seeing what God has made and celebrate it despite what the world says. And then if we ever see anybody else naked, we've got to be very careful what we say or think or do with that nakedness, all right? We've got to realize that if we speak negatively or gossip or say anything like that about anybody else's nakedness, we're actually breaking a covenant that God made with Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. A covenant always involved the shedding of blood. So now we understand why porn is so destructive. We also understand why it is so addictive. Okay? Because it is something so, so precious to God, and when we use nakedness in the wrong way, it draws us. It sucks us in because it's actually dealing with the spirit. Okay? So nakedness, for some reason, is really, really important to God. And we meant to celebrate it. In Psalm 139, we are told that God made every part, and he said it is fearfully and wonderfully made, even our genitals, okay? Guys, you need to know that you have an amazing frenulum in your life. Women, you need to know that you have incredible labia in your life. I'm not being frivolous here. I'm just saying we've got to acknowledge that God made it. And we've got to really honor it. Because later Paul speaks about the fact that these are precious parts. And we are very careful where we show them. So in this process, we also need to just distinguish between sexuality and sex, okay? Sexuality, all right, is a huge term. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about it, all right? It starts when we are conceived. It ends when we die. Do you know that in the womb, little boys have erections, little girls have engorged labia? Interesting. Don't know why, but that's what happens. Okay, so it starts there. It ends when we die. But in heaven, there are females and males, so there's an aspect of sexuality up there, but there's no sex. Anyway, speak to God about that one. Right. And so sexuality is amazing, all right? But it includes every part of our body, not just our genitals, all right? And it's the way we think about what our genitals mean to us. In terms of sex itself and reproduction, obviously. But then in terms of gender, our gender identity, our gender role, our gender orientation, our sexual preference one day, it also deals with things like arousal, like pleasure, like eroticism, all those kinds of things. That is what sexuality is about. But all of us have had a sexual script planted in us from a very young age, because of a number of things. And you'll see the diagram there. Oh, if you go to the diagram, I think it's the next one. That'll be great. Next one, please. Oh, there it is. Sorry, there it is. Okay. You'll see there's culture, law, there's the society we live in. All of these things speak to us about our sexuality. Okay. At the moment, media and Hollywood, I think, are speaking the loudest. All right. And we've got to constantly be asking the questions, is this God's worldview or not? Okay? Is it right for me to be watching whatever I am watching if nakedness is an issue of covenant? Okay, what do I do with it? Okay, it's not a matter of when we might see porn, it's a matter of what we see and how much we see. And what do we do with it? Okay, but if we don't carry a worldview that understands the incredible power of nakedness, right, then we just become complete pagans. So Paul writes to the Thessalonians. There, you've got it up there. And in Thessalonica, they had a whole lot of temples to the gods of Greece. Okay? And at these temples, there used to be prostitutes. Why the heck have a prostitute at a temple? Because they knew if you get somebody to have sex in the name of our God, we have them. Sex always costs. It's always giving seed. All right? It's never for free. And we've got to understand that. It is sacred, it is holy, and ultimately it is worship. Okay? And so, when we carry a biblical worldview, we are saying, no, 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 no. If I have sex, I've got to know I am going to be putting an idol onto a throne, onto the throne of my life. And I've got to be careful which one it is. If we are married, well, isn't that amazing? We can worship and worship and worship. Okay? And it is so cool. All right. Okay, but if we are single, God has a way out. All right? And I singleness is one of the few things that is spoken about positively in the church. And I, even in the last 5 days, have been working on a paper around singleness. And you know that there are very few papers written in the sexology realm that do not have a presupposition that the best way to live is not single. Okay? And so I really want to say there are so many people in the Bible that were single. And there's a huge advantage for it, guys. Huge advantage. You can focus and give so much more time to what God calls you to be and do than people that are married. That is why Paul says, don't get married, all right? Because you actually struggle to be completely focused. And I really want to honor people that have chosen a single way of life. And I want all of us that haven't chosen that to really acknowledge people that are single and have chosen that way. And not to think that they're lesser, that they're waiting for the moment when it's all going to come right. I think we've actually got to start saying, man, we need you in our lives to keep us focused, to keep our attention on the real goal, which is in Jesus. Okay? So we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:3-6 that each of us should learn to control our own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust, like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. We need to know how our body works. If we don't know how it works and we get married, how do you think our spouse will know how things work? But we learn how it works so that we can control it, so that we don't fall prey to the pagan gods and to the lust that was involved in those activities. All right? And so I really want to encourage everybody here. We have a responsibility to find out what God gave us, how it works, so that we can actually control it and use it in a wise way. All right? And so that does mean we've got to do some self-exploration, which can actually be a lot of fun, all right? But we are doing it so that we can actually control it, all right? And there is a subtle difference between desire and lust, okay? Attraction and lust. The subtle difference is that as soon as attraction or desire is sexualized, therefore I want it for myself, then it has become lust. And we know what Jesus said about that. Even if you just look at a woman lustfully, you have actually committed the sin. Okay? So, just for you to know that, that means, okay, and I'm not being overly condoning here, that means it's important for us to know what we like. It's important for us to know how our body responds. What am I aroused to? Sorry, not to, by. What makes me actually feel this, the adrenaline flowing? When does that happen? All right? How does it make me feel? So that we can understand how we can control our body wherever we go, with whoever we are with. Okay? So I really want to encourage you to actually work this out for yourself. Okay? And I'm not saying that we've all now got to take on masturbatory habits that are uncapped, all right? But I am saying we need to know these things, okay? I'm really going off script now. But for young adults, one of the most important things to know is the difference between sensual touch and erotic touch, okay? So there are five different kinds of touch. Rehabilitation, caring touch, sensual touch, erotic touch, and sexual touch, okay? We all need to know that rehabilitative touch is when we go to the doctor and they press and prod, or we go to the physiotherapist and it's horrible, okay? All right. Okay, and then there's caring touch. Ach, I'm so sorry, okay? Caring touch, all right? Then we have sensual touch. Ooh, you just go gaga, huh? You all know those, hey? Some people like having their arms tickled or whatever it is. That's sensual touch. It's not sexual, all right? And we've got to learn what that is, all right? But we've got to know when it moves from sensual to erotic. And that means that adrenaline is being released, and so the blood vessels are opening and they are sending blood to certain places. Okay? Now we've got to learn this. Okay? Don't think that all of a sudden you're going to know, all right? But we've actually got to learn this and understand and know our body so that when that starts happening, we know, step back, step back, step back, red flag. Okay. Sexual touch, obviously, well, erotic touch is obviously where the genitals are aroused, okay, and then sexual touch is with sex as the intended outcome. Okay. So all of these things are what Paul is saying. Learn about your body, all right? Because if we don't learn about it and we can't control it, well, then it's going to cause us to fail. Now, there are some of us here tonight who have had touch which is inappropriate. And I really want to just believe with you tonight that you're going to have your touch scripts restored, okay? And, so just for that for you to be aware of that. So sex is worship. Sex is covenantal, all right? Sex, if we go back to Genesis, and any good biblical worldview has to have Genesis 1, 2, and 3 in it, okay? Sex was meant to be monogamous and heterosexual. This is not a politically correct message at all, okay? But does that mean that we go around bashing people who don't think that, okay? And I'm just going to raise one thing here. Many people struggle with who they are because their gifting does not fit what the culture says a man or a woman must be. Okay? Masculinity and femininity are cultural scripts. Okay, that's important for you to know. Masculinity and femininity are cultural scripts. All right, so that means that when I'm with a bunch of men around the braai, and they're all talking about slaughtering pigs or whatever it is, and that just grosses me out, because all I want to do is actually make very nice flower arrangements. I have an incongruency there, and I've got to know that my gifting doesn't fit that, but it doesn't define me as a man or a woman. You can hear this, all right? And we go around, even in the church, and we raise up these masculine and feminine scripts that are becoming narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower, that people often feel very out because their natural gifting just does not fit in. And so what do we find people doing? They jump out and they find their own definition, LGBTQI+. All right? And so when we speak about sex being heterosexual and monogamous, we also carry a deep, deep compassion for people that actually cannot fit the script of the world that has told them they do not belong to whatever their gender is. And so I really want to encourage you to understand this. We don't use the word to bash anybody. We've got the beacons of right and wrong. That's absolutely fine. But you know what? When we go into the world, we go into the middle, which is gray. And you know what? Jesus went right in there. He was fully man, and he loved every person with a deep, deep intimacy. And so we go in there, and we are compassionate. And we find out what belief has been planted because of a pain that is registered in your life between your gifting and what the world is saying I need to be. And you know what? Every one of us here has struggled with that. If we really want to be honest with ourselves, there is no person here who has fitted exactly into the script that the world has said we must be. And so we've got to see it for what it is. Okay? And we've got to help people, and we can feel with them because of it. All right? And just for us to know, it's got nothing to do with our physiology and biology. It's got to do with a cultural script. I hope this is just helping you. But I know that there are people here who have struggled with this. Okay? You have gifts that are different. You have gifts, you have a physique. You have ways of expressing yourself that are deeply, deeply placed in you by God, but they are actually unacceptable in the world. And God wants you to know that you are fully male or fully female, and you do not need to worry about that. And rather, focus your gifts on a kingdom purpose and goal. All right? And go for it. And you get people around you to help you go for it. Okay? We have a friend, and she was an engineer. All right? A woman engineer. Hello. All right? It's not really often heard of. Okay? But you know, she was fully feminine, because when she died, there were over 1,000 people at her funeral. She was a nurturer. She was somebody who cared. She was punctured and bored through. Okay? And I'm using these terms because they are the meanings of what male and female meant in Genesis 1:27, when God said he made them male and female. Okay? A woman nurtures, she nourishes, she's punctured and bored through, yes, physiologically, but also she gets easily punctured. She feels deeply and a lot. Okay? That's why men need women. All right? And so while she was doing something that was typically masculine, she was being fully feminine. Okay? Just this afternoon, I met a friend of ours, and he is the most incredible hairdresser. And he just is always finding out the next best style and cut, the next best way to color hair and whatever it is. He is being fully man, because what is a man? He penetrates and he moves things forward to create significance. Okay? And so when we find people that are struggling with this, where do we take them? We take them there. Because when we look at the definitions of male and female, it doesn't say what we must do. It says how we will be. Okay? And there is a distinction, okay? And you can go and look at that and find out more about that, okay? But that's how we cope with this, all right? And we really point people to God's calling on their lives. And then we come to the middle, because everything has to revolve around Jesus. Jesus, the amazing one who became a man, gave up all of his kingly spiritual authority, and just became a man like you and me. And one of the things, and there were, of course, Jesus redeemed everything, but one of the biggest things he redeemed was our nakedness, as well as our intimacy scripts. Because Jesus was a deeply intimate man. Wherever he went, he made deep relationships. He met with prostitutes. He had very close friends. At the Last Supper, it says that John's head was on his chest. And if we read later, it sounds like they all were pretty much bare-chested. All right? He was deeply intimate. He knew people. And just for you to know, intimacy is knowing and being known. All right? What is sex? Sex is a form of intimacy, but it comes at the end of me taking off layers. Layers of my mind, layers of my intellect, layers of my emotions, layers of my will, layers of my spirit, and then I take off some clothes. Intimacy is knowing and being known. It has been placed within us from the moment we are conceived. That's why a baby will crawl to where the daddy's speaking in the womb. Because we all want to be known. And we all want to know someone special. All right? And that is what Jesus did. He came on the earth so that he could show us what intimacy was in his walk every day. But then, with his death, we know that the curtain was torn between the holy place and the most holy place. And where it was only a certain priest that could go into that place at a certain time of the year, and hopefully they weren't killed, okay, and this mysterious thing happened inside. Now he said, all of you can come and be intimate with the Father. That's what he did on the cross. Isn't it amazing? All right? And so our intimacy scripts can be changed, all right? Because there are many of us here that have known and been known in wrong ways. And we carry pain around that. And Jesus has come that can be changed, all right? And then finally, what did Jesus do? He redeemed our nakedness. He was on the cross naked. He was on a hill on a high day. It was the major festival in Jerusalem. Golgotha was actually positioned on a highway, all right? So it wasn't just the people from the city, but it was people who were actually going from one town to another. And there was this man, completely crucified, arms open wide, not wearing a loincloth. We never see a picture of that, do we? And then we are told, okay, and don't quote me on this, but what I've understood is we are told that when they pierced his side water ran out, which probably says that he died of a heart attack. And most often, when people die of heart attacks, they sometimes have an erection. We don't know that. But that is the depth to which what Jesus did on the cross has gone. That our nakedness is covered. They took his undergarments from Psalm 22, and they, cast lots for them. Why undergarments? All right. I don't know what was in those undergarments, because he went through a lot of pain. But on the cross, he took the shame that we've all carried around our nakedness. What we felt, what we've been told, and how we have compared ourselves to others and to a social script. And Jesus wants to restore that this evening. And so just in praying beforehand, I just had this incredible image of somebody who lives somewhere where you have moonlight. And something happened under moonlight. And I don't know who it is or what it was, but this has created a huge issue for you. I also believe that there are Marys here. There are Marys here who feel that they have carried and have been given an incredible gift as well as a calling that is almost like a child that God wants to see you birth in the world and in his kingdom. And Mary had to face a lot of rejection. Even Joseph wanted to leave her. And God just wants you to know that you are not alone, and that the time will come when it is right to birth what he's placed with inside you. Then I believe there are Jacobs here, where Jacob stole birthrights. And you know that you have stolen some birthrights. You've taken people's glory sometimes, and you've actually held onto it. And God wants you to know that tonight you can be free from that, and especially a masculine script that you took on when you did that. He wants to free you from that tonight. Then there's somebody here who's like a Moses with a stutter. And God just wants you to know that he sees you. And where you have wanted to share God's love, maybe it's not even someone with a stutter, but somebody that has felt that there's something on their tongue. And you know that you have something special to share, but nobody listens. God wants you to know that tonight you will be able to be free to be intimate, that you will let other people know and they will want to know you. So there are lots of things, and I hope that as we've gone through everything, that you've been able to just identify to some stuff that I've shared. And I'm just going to worship now, and can somebody just come and bring a mic for me if that's okay? And I don't think you know the song, but that's okay. But I'd really just encourage you to find a space wherever you need to go and just really meet with Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to do something fresh in you tonight around any of these things that we've spoken about. Oh, can you get my glasses, please? I'm an old man. Need glasses. Okay. Thank you.
Hello. Oh, we love you, Lord. Just ask your Spirit to come. Thank you. I'm standing in your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm calling to the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon me.
Restore virginity, Father God. Come and restore the health about who we are in you. Lord, where self-images have just been ripped apart, Father God, I thank you that right now you restore. That you release the Marys, Father God. You release the Jacobs right here, Lord. You release the Moseses that are going to shift a nation. That you release the Jacobs, Father God, that become the 12 tribes that are going to change the world, Father God. Just as you deal with our sexual pain and the brokenness. Oh God, our God, we need you. Oh God, our God, we need you now. How we need you. Thank you, Lord, that you deal with the pain. give us a way out, Lord. We just worship you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be
to the Father now, maybe in tongues, because you don't know what it is he's really doing. You just receive now. What you've done here. And Lord, I just thank you that you release now your completion upon the work that you've started here now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the seed that you have planted in people's hearts, and I ask, Lord, that you'd now just give them a fresh revelation of who it is they need to share this with, Lord, so that people can see and know that you are real. And Lord, that this topic is not off your table, but you have a wonderful way and a beautiful way for us to live it. And I pray this now in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.